Digital stance, getting firewalled, ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused a fight between Un and Jay-Z. The CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ, leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the... the hackers and the crew. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zip sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, hackers and crackers, freaks and geeks. You are listening to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 20, originally aired on November 18th, Tuesday, in 2003. And that's the first time I think I've ever opened the show by actually stating the date, the original air date. So we're breaking new ground today, but when it comes to guest hosts, we're breaking old ground. We're bringing back one of our favorite guests and longtime co-host of Radio Freak America, the one and only Bland Inquisitor.
I'm here. I'm queer. Deal with it.
You know, you set me up with outtakes like that. I mean, I gotta save that for a clip show or like that little gag I played on Duel that one time.
Oh, yeah, the old protein shot.
Yeah, I might have to just save that one and, matter of fact, I might just go out in the street and record some other good stuff to go along with it. Anyway, as we said, this is Binary Revolution Radio episode 20, and we do have an action-packed show today. We really do. We got a lot of stuff to hit this week. First of all, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring up our distributed.net team. We have been around, I think, 20, 21 strong now for a month or two at least. Everybody pitching in a little bit here and there. I know In Theory's been putting up some huge numbers and may overtake me in the standings, and I've been doing it for several months longer than him, and he's putting up some big numbers. But even if you can't put up a lot, even if you don't have multiple machines to put to it, just put it on even whatever machine you got, and even if you only upload once a month or once every couple weeks, every little bit helps. We are, last I checked, which was a couple days ago, I think we were around 325th place or something like that, which is right up there with a lot of other people. There's a lot of computing power, even though it's several of us who only use it on our computers at home. So we have enough people now that we're actually climbing in the rankings slowly but surely, where in the past we had been slowly falling a few times. We're actually climbing maybe one or two points each week or two. So if you haven't already, go to distributed.net, and there's actually a link on the front page of benrev.com, and there's plenty of information in the Stank Dog forums and the doghouse. You can check out, there's a special thread for it to get information on setting it up or help or anything like that. But join Team DDP, and let's crack those keys. Now, excuse me for coughing on the radio, but we got an email also from Byte Stealer. Very cool name. I like that a lot. He reminded me, see, last week, Bland, we, Rax and I, did our Matrix special. And I know you haven't listened to it yet, but we talked about the Matrix and what we thought about the movie. And I think we were in conjunction. I think, if I remember right, you liked it a lot, too.
I loved it. It was one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, see, I thought it was really cool, too. I liked it a lot, and so did Rax. And that was what last week's episode was mainly about. That's what the main topic was. And we talked about a lot of things and how immersive it is and how many things that it entails as far as movies and video games and anime and blah, blah, blah. Well, Byte Stealer emailed and reminded me that I also left out the Matrix online comic. They actually have an online comic, and there's probably a printed one as well. I don't know for sure if they have a printed comic, but I would imagine a big title like that, a big headline grabber like Matrix, would probably sell comics as well. Are there novels? Do they have books?
No, I've never seen any.
They have any fiction novels?
No, I think if they didn't, they should. But I think they made a graphic novel of the first movie.
Hmm. Well, and you know what? Now, if the movies are done, which again we can only assume they are, if the movies are done, there are a lot of boy, I coughed right on the microphone again. There are a lot of loose ends and a lot of stories that they can clean up and tie up now through novels. And like all of the characters that they've introduced, they can easily follow up on them with books or novels or even, you know, follow the ships or something and their crew. There's really a lot of different, there's a lot of fiction, a lot of science fiction that can be written in novels from this that can branch off and then be in the Matrix world.
And let me just add here that I have two favorite villains in all of film and literature and all of that. My two favorite villains are...
The Wicked Witch.
No. They are Zorg from The Fifth Element. He's a great villain. He's
Zorg?
Yeah.
Is that the one Chris Tucker played?
No. That's the one that Gary Oldman played.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
He is my favorite villain of all time. My second favorite villain of all time is definitely the Merovingian.
I don't know if he was really a villain.
Yeah, but he played an adversarial role. I mean, definitely. And
I don't know. I don't know if I would go. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call him a villain. He wasn't the nicest of guys doing his trade that he had. But I think he was. I don't know. I guess kind of. I guess I can see that.
He has that quality that.
He was a businessman.
Yeah, and that's what's so awesome. It's like, it's almost like a really, really off juxtaposition of Al Pacino and The Godfather. I mean, you're a businessman, but you are just really tearing things up in ways people don't understand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he made some mean pie.
Oh, he made some hecka pie.
Yeah. Ooh, hecka. I was almost going to go with that, but... He made some mean pie. That's all I got to say.
Yowza.
You know what? They're funnier, even without the swearing, because we have to go with all these other words. I think it's funnier. I think it's funner this way.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. You have to really expand your vocabulary.
Exactly. I'm getting better, I have to say. I'm going to make it through this episode again. I made it last week without it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And anybody listening to the live stream might think otherwise. Hint, hint. But I think I'm going to make it. I got some stuff up here that might get me stirred up. I'm going to try to control it, but I think I can make it again. I guess we'll see. So that was it for the email this week. Actually, I got a few emails of people saying they agreed, they felt the same way about The Matrix, and some people in the forums, I think, said that. Obviously, there were some others that did not like it, so... Hey, it takes all kinds, you know. It's not going to like everything. I'm sure there's some people that didn't like Star Wars. I know I didn't like the new ones. I think they just... I'm not even going to go there. You know what? I'm just not even going to go there.
Yeah, you better sleeping dogs lie on that one.
Yeah, all I'm saying is they should have stopped after 2. That's all I have to say about that. Ewoks. Come on, really? Ewoks?
Yeah, you know...
Come on.
That was a 2.5-hour toy commercial is what that movie was.
And so was Episode 1, and so was Episode 2.
Yep.
Episode 2 was better, but Episode 1 was a big video game commercial.
It was a big Jar Jar fist.
It was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just leave that one. That was just, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make us take another mulligan if I start talking about Jar Jar.
Exactly. We already took one to start the show with because you made me laugh. Episode 3. Okay, and that's the other thing is I don't know which episode is which now. Okay, listen, I'm calling them the way I'm going to call them, and I don't care what George Lucas calls them. Episode 3 with the Ewoks, and Episode 1, which is the new series, which I know is not even makes sense for a numbering scheme, but the new one with little Darth Vader riding around in his beat-up hoopty spaceship that somehow can defeat everyone else who's been trained and never... Those movies together don't even get 5 out of 10 in my book. Anyway.
They're pretty poor.
Yeah, they were sad. Sad movie. So, email me, letters@binrev.com. Tell me, you know, I know there's Star Trek, Star Wars. Oh, no, did I commit the mortal sin?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well, you know what? Seriously, the Star Trek movies don't do much for me either. They really don't. That's another myth. Not all hackers are into the whole Star Trek thing, of Star Wars. I mean, hey, I'm still cool to look at Seven of Nine all day long. Don't get me wrong. But I really don't care if she's a Borg or if she's... What's the giraffe neck girl? The giraffe neck girl used to be hot. I don't know what happened to her. And the dude who sleeps in a bucket, he was pretty cool.
I don't know about any of that, man. Star Trek The Next Generation is like the best show on television, and I don't even care that it just happens to be on a spaceship called the Enterprise. I don't even care about all that. It's just a rad show.
Yeah, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I dislike it, but I just don't memorize all the, you know, like they make all these fanboys out to know every episode and who starred in this. And, oh, no, wait a minute. Odo could never sleep in a bucket because the silly putty form might cause him to stick to the linoleum siding. And I don't know that.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that he sleeps in a bucket, but that's pretty much it.
And more to the point, I don't care to know.
Yeah, truthfully, yeah. I mean, I
don't care to know the modify the phase variance on the, you know, urinal cake in the Enterprise D or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, they have cool characters. I like the giraffe neck chick who had a slug living inside of her and then it left. I don't want to know how it got out of her body and went into someone else and turned them into a giraffe neck. Well, I don't know if it turns them into... You know what? Never mind. I'm going to get a bunch of email of people trying to explain Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff to me. And it'll just go over my head. It'll just go right over my head. Anyway, we haven't even left the mail section, and we've already branched off into the weird... See, you and I do this. We go off on these weird tangents. I don't know if that makes for good radio or bad radio, but... Email, I think we were on. Email. I was done with email. I said I got emails about Matrix, and that was it. I did notice something weird, though. I don't know if you have Hotmail account, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that... I just noticed this yesterday, that when I went to my Hotmail account, it actually redirected. Instead of going to... It used to go to, like, what was it? Law... L-A-W, law 4 dot whatever. It would make up a prefix. I guess it would probably had a server farm or something. Now, I notice that it routes to hotmail.msn.com. Now, what's up with that?
Yeah, mine does that too. But the mine uses C2SD. Is pretty much always like one of the prefixes. And it goes to hotmail.msn.com. And... I don't know. It's. I think the bank, even before it went to hotmail.msn, mine always went to that C2SD, and I don't know if they just branched over or if they're, you know, you see the commercials for the new, server, and maybe they switched, maybe they consolidated, 75 domains down to 2. Never know.
Well, they I think there's definitely still a random prefix or something on there. I'm sure they're still going to some server farm with those or some kind of encoded name. I don't think they're random. I think it's an encoded name. They probably have some naming convention that you can figure out what it means, but don't really care, frankly. It just struck me as odd. I wonder how many people notice it. And the other thing is, like I mentioned on a previous episode, I think it was episode 14. I don't think. I know. I looked that up. By episode 14... I talked about single sign-on, the concept of what is single sign-on and how it works, and I actually used Hotmail as an example. And if you remember that episode, if you haven't listened to it, go check it out, but it basically explains it's all authenticating in one place anyway. You know, so you're logging in, when you logged into Hotmail, you're automatically logged into all the MSN content and other stuff. Anything that you had that passport, which is a more proper term, it's passport, is there... central authenticating thing. You can get to any of the passport sites, which is MSN, Hotmail, etc., etc. I don't know if Expedia is included, probably all the Microsoft sites. So the fact that the name change really doesn't make a big difference. It just kind of struck me as unusual.
Yeah.
I hope there's not nothing more to it than that. But that's all for the mail. Now, actually, I kind of already was talking about stuff I've been noticing or doing this week. My whole week, my past like 2 weeks really, but especially last week and today, or actually Monday, I spent the entire day coding like a madman. Absolutely just dropping code like I don't know, like I can't even think of a metaphor right now. I was dropping code non-stop. If my job would just leave me alone and let me do my coding, the world would be a much happier place. Well, I'd be a much happier dog, I know that. I just want to be left alone and write my code. Is that really too much to ask?
No, it is not.
I spend so much time in meetings about nothing. Like, Seinfeld had a show about nothing. We have meetings about nothing. You know what? I'm on this now, so this is going to be a rant on what it's like to be a programmer sometimes. I swear to you, I'm going to do it without cursing, too. I swear to you, these people have meetings whose sole purpose it is to review previous meetings. And they have meetings to discuss what topics are going to be discussed at subsequent meetings. They meet for the sake of meeting. There's no goal. They rehash things over and over again. They have meetings. You know what the one they have most often? Let's have a meeting to discuss what we've accomplished since the last meeting. So, you know, a day or two later, what have you accomplished? Well, it's only been a day, and I didn't accomplish anything, so let's sit down and analyze why we didn't accomplish. Maybe if you'd quit meeting every other day, you'd get some code done. You'd get some work done. You'd have something to accomplish. I don't get this concept. Just point me to the computer and get out of my way.
You know, I think the, what I like to refer, I don't know if I can say this on, the circle jerk management style is, seems to be pretty big over where I'm working at, too. Just kind of, just stand around and hold your pud and, maybe Bland will do the work.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, that's the frustrating part. It's like, I've gotten used to the fact that they're going to meet for the sake of meeting, and they pull me into it, you know, and fine, whatever. It's easier for me to just be quiet, take a deep breath, go to my happy place, and just wait till it's all over with. I've accepted that's part of working in the real world sometimes. I accept that's the way it goes sometimes. But what gets me angry is that sometimes my work, a lot of times my work, depends on them getting me information. And I've been getting a lot of grief, good word, I've been getting a lot of grief lately because a project is not done when they wanted it to be done, yet I don't get the information that I need from other parties involved in this. Now, I can't go into a bunch of detail. People know where I work somewhat. They know what type of place I work at. Most of them probably know where I work, actually. But I'm not going to come out and say it on the radio. However, I get some information, some data, from an outside agency that I need to import into our local system. Well, I'm working with the data that they give me and the specs that they give me. And specs change as you go along because they don't think them through. They change their mind at the last minute. That, again, is something you have to accept as a programmer. That just happens. And, again, I'm used to that. I don't mind it. I actually smile and laugh about it. Sometimes I even code ahead of time going, you know what? I don't think this is what they meant. I think they wanted this. So I'll go ahead and write the code. And then when they come to me, I say, yeah, I know. I'm already done. I already kind of play ahead of the game. And even this project I've been working on lately, I coded ahead of the game. They didn't give me all of the specs, but I had some ideas. I jumped ahead. I coded what I could code. I wrote the shell of the programs to save me some typing time. And they finally give me the information that I need, the data, actually. I got most of the specs finally. I got those whipped out. I'm getting a data file, and the data that they send me is garbage. I mean, it's total garbage. They're sending me blanks and fields that should be numeric, and my program is looking for zeros or for numbers, and it just chokes it to death, which, yes, it can all be fixed, but when we're talking about a record length of over 4,000 characters and several thousand records themselves, I have to write exception routines for all of these things and 20 occurrences within 20 occurrences. It's just messy and time-consuming to write an exception routine for mistakes that other people did. Well, I guess I shouldn't say mistakes, but oversights and shortcomings of someone else's programming skills who can't get me good, solid, valid information. And that's frustrating because it makes me look like I'm not coding fast enough or I'm not getting something done on time, when in actuality, I have programmed ahead of the game, and I'm waiting on them to get me data. It's so frustrating sometimes. And then I get called into a meeting to sit there and twiddle my thumbs and say, what's the progress? Well, there is no progress because I'm in your meeting again, and I could be in my office in headphones coding. Oh. All right, calm down. Go to my happy place. Okay, I'm back. See, I made it through that without cussing.
I am very, very proud of you.
I'm proud of myself. I'm very proud of myself. You know what? That was a pat on the back. I gave myself a pat on the back for that.
Outstanding. You earned it.
What did you almost say?
I said you earned it.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. All right. I'm calmed down. You know what, though? Even that being said, it's frustrating and stuff. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting better at it. It's, you know, when you got to work with normals all day, you have to adapt to them, at least on a temporary basis, at least on a social engineering level. You have to talk down. You have to deal with their way of thinking and their way of working, and you just have to. As hard as it is, and believe me, I know, you have to deal with the normals, and you got to work through it. But I did, even that being said, I had a great week doing this coding. That's what I like to do. I love it. I laid down so much code Monday. I went in, coded almost 12 hours solid, straight. Even at lunchtime, I ran out and grabbed something to eat I almost went to McDonald's, but I didn't. I went to a local restaurant, grabbed something, brought it back to my desk, and coded while I'm eating. I stayed there late tonight. Everybody was out of the building. I don't know if you... what am I asking? Of course you're familiar. You're the king of all music. I listened to the Matrix soundtrack, not the movie score, but the other disc. You know, it's a two disc. It's the one with Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie's on there, POD.
Yeah.
I cranked it up full blast. I'm just coding and just, dude, I was in the zone. I was like Michael Jordan, baby, 50-point game. I was in the zone. and when I left. It was just the greatest feeling. It was just the adrenaline rush. I guess people, I hope some people listening feel me on this. I hope they get me. But, dude, when you've been coding and you can see the progress and you're like, yeah, boy, I just worked that out, man. I fixed their program. I worked around, and no matter what they try, I've got it hooked up. There's nothing they can do to it. They can't make it any worse that I can't fix it. You know, I just walk out with such a feeling of accomplishment and victory, I guess. And I don't know, I guess it's a programming thing, a hacking thing, I don't know. Also, and maybe it's the fact that it's at night. I always do my best coding. I work better at night. I don't know if that's a hacking cliche or if it's just a personal, you know, they always say that hackers are up all night and blah blah blah. Maybe it's true, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. Do you notice any difference? Do you do anything better late at night? Oh boy, that was a real open-ended question. Rewind. Bland, do you notice that you code any differently in the day or versus the night?
Oh, man. As far as just hacking in general, I can't do anything while the sun's up, man. It gets dark, and, you know, like, everyone's in bed, and you're just, the energy's there, and it's just, man, the best hacking. My best hacking is, like, 2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so hard to do that, too, and have to get up and go work with the normals all day, you know?
Yeah.
They got that 8-to-5, 9-to-5 mindset, and they just don't understand.
I pity them.
The thing is, they just don't get it. You could write an entire system in a couple nights, overnight, doing it your way, but that's not good enough. That's not what they want. They'd rather you come in and spend 6 months during those normal business hours trying to make your brain function, going to all their mind-numbing meetings and sapping your will to code and make you take infinitely longer, and that somehow is better. I don't get it. But that is corporate mentality. That's just the way the world is, and unfortunately that's not changing. You know, we know some of our listeners have had problems dealing with school and how those systems work and how is school bothers them and they can't do this and the restrictions there. Well, we have that same type of thing in the real world. So, you know, that's why our advice is always suck it up, go to your happy place, get through it. You will, and in the long run, you will be better off. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? Now, that's a, you know, I can't say that. Truth be told, compared to a lot of places in the world, there's some people in bad shape, so always count your blessings on where you stand. Anyway, let's go back. Can we talk about hacking?
If you want to.
I don't know. Should we? Yeah. Or do you want to just go off in like some kind of transcendental meditation kind of, I don't know, you want to talk about some philosophical... Your job here is to keep me reined back in when I go off on these weird tangents like that.
See, I dig them.
See, I know. See, this is the thing. I got the wrong person, right?
Oh, yeah.
You and I can start off a hacking show and end up talking about, I don't know, debating the size of trash can perimeters or something weird like that. Which, by the way, I don't understand the trash can perimeter. I mean, why does there even have to be a standard size in trash cans? I mean, really, as long as it just meets your needs, it should be able to adapt to whatever. Why not an elastic-rimmed garbage can?
Oh, see, that's why Linux doesn't make trash cans.
And make your own, you know, a Lego, like a Lego. You can build your own.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of, okay, I don't know, that's not a good segue. I'm going to segue back into something else I found cool this week. Okay, I'm done with the ranting about that. I actually stumbled across a cool device. I think, if I remember correctly, I found this through a link from Yahoo. I don't remember where or how at Yahoo, but something on one of their pages. It was like the top, what was their word? Coolest. It was some kind of cool inventions or something, cool products that were out. And it's a, this one that caught my eye anyway, is that there's a new... in my office, here's what relates to work. In my office, I have a shredder. I'm one of the few people that insisted on getting a shredder. I deal with social security numbers, people's payroll information, student information, all kinds of private stuff, grades, anything you can imagine. And I respect my own privacy, so I'm definitely going to respect others. So I have a shredder, and I shred anything of that nature, including my own code. And I don't want somebody dumpster diving, pulling out my code and digging through it or something like that. Something that basically is our bread and butter as hackers sometimes. So I shred a lot of that stuff. Well, I found a shredder, and I know you're thinking, how can a shredder be cool? What's it? This is a shredder. It's made by, who's it made by? Royal, R-O-Y-A-L, royal.com. It is a shredder that shreds CDs, compact discs. You can put a compact disc in there. It will shred it. It's called a CD shredder, but it will shatter it, basically. Shatter the CD, cut it in so many pieces that... I tell you what, here's a quote. Here's a quote from it. Where's the quote? It says it flattens... Oh, this was also cool. Not only does it shred CDs, it also shred diskettes and credit cards.
Huh.
Which, I don't know if you've ever tried. I've tried to send credit cards through a shredder, and it doesn't... It chokes. It doesn't like it very well at all.
Yeah, no, it's not happy with that at all.
Yeah, at the very worst, it'll bend it or carve into it, but it won't cut it open. So, and you'll probably really screw up your shredder in the process. But this one will shred floppies, credit cards, and the quote, which just, I don't know, it sounds really cool the way they word it. It says, quote, "It flattens raised numbers on old credit and ATM cards before cutting them to ribbons. It shreds a CD in about 4 seconds, reducing it to shards too small to be used for any kind of data recovery." Dude, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Not only does it shred the card, but it flattens the raised numbers? Wow, that is elite. Police, open up. Stank dog, we're here to confiscate. Shred. I have to be shredding a lot real fast, so that's not exactly going to work. But, man, I thought... that to me is really, really cool.
Oh, that's very nice. Hey, what's the time on that? How long does it take you to shred the CD?
I think it said 4 seconds to shred, shatter a CD. I think it was 4 seconds. Which, I mean, I guess it takes 4 seconds to shred a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes that long to feed it through.
I'm just trying to figure it out if I can do it with a sledgehammer or a can of green beans or something faster.
They wouldn't be as small. This is like confetti.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, yeah, they show a picture. If you go to, again, it's www.royal.com, R-O-Y-A-L. They show a picture of it. When I look, it was on the front page earlier this week, and I assume it'll be up for a while. If not, just, I guess you can look under the shredder section or search for it. I'm not sure. But it shows a picture, and you can see all the little shards in the catch case. And it's really, it's pretty cool. It's really pretty cool. Other than that, I listened, by the way, I listened to last RFA, and I really liked your doorbell idea.
Oh, thank you.
With the Bluetooth and walking up to the door.
Yes.
See, it's going to be tough getting that into most people. Geeks would love it, of course. But seriously, why not? It's obviously not expensive technology. I mean, it's cheap enough they put it into phones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you're building a tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars on a home or on a house, it seems like a simple thing to build that into the doorbell when you're building a new house, a new technology that could be put into upgrading doorbell technology, which I don't think has been updated. I mean, it's a doorbell, for God's sake. What can you do? You know?
What?
Like, you know, I know some houses that are built now, they go ahead and they put it, well, probably now they've stopped with wireless, but I know a few years back they were building houses and putting network RJ45 cable running through the house so that if you wanted to set up a network, you could simply jack into the port in the room and you could go to like a utility closet or something and set up your hub or switch or whatever you wanted to set up. And that way you're all your wiring's already pulled through, because I'm sure as most hackers know that have pulled their own network, you go through the ceiling, it makes a mess, you have to get into the roof, you have to get into the walls. If you live in an apartment, forget about it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I know they're putting those in houses because it was cheap. It's not like RJ45 costs a whole lot. You know, it's not like this stuff's going to cost a couple faceplates. Same thing with the Bluetooth. Put that in the doorbell, man. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially if you could somehow get it to transmit something custom. Like if all the Domino's delivery boys wore, you know, hey, get the door, it's Domino's. Or, you know, put their little slogan in there so you got to hear a little advertisement with your pizza.
The thing is, it would have to be, I would want it to only be voluntary. You know, there's got to be a way to keep it from, I don't want, you know, because that's the problem with RFID. You know, I don't want somebody tracking me or, you know, knowing where I'm at or coming, you know, it would have to be a voluntary thing. Now, the range of Bluetooth is so small that it might not be such a problem, but...
Well, I'm not talking about using it for authentication or anything. I'm just talking about that maybe even you have to have it, like if I had a doorbell.
Right.
I had a Bluetooth doorbell. I have linked up your Bluetooth MAC address, the MAC address of your phone.
So you'd have to program your doorbell?
Yeah, because it wouldn't send, like that would be scary.
Right, that's what I was getting at. I didn't want any kind of Big Brother stuff going on. It would definitely have to be something that's programmed into the doorbell. But again, is that something that only Uber geeks like us would ever do?
I think it's rad. And if you could do it for cheap enough, and I mean, let's say as cool as Bluetooth is,
and as cool as doorbells are,
I think it would fly.
I think, you know what, I really do, but it's one of those things that it's so cheap. Why not? That's what I say. Why not? It's cheap.
Yeah, and plus because a lot of people have Bluetooth in their phone, and they're like, Bluetooth, BlackBerry, what's all that?
Yeah, they don't even know.
And so, but if you say, hey, here's something that you can use to, sound cool at my house when you come and visit me, you know, it shows you, you know, it does that for me, and they'll be like, ooh, maybe this Bluetooth stuff is kind of cool, and they'll do a little reading about it, and Bluetooth will really jump up and take off like it should.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it is taking off. The cell phone market, cell phone industry is helping it a lot. I went and checked out the site you guys talked about on RFA 89, right?
Which one?
That was the last one?
Yeah.
89, BlueJackQ.com.
Oh, yeah.
That was a cool site. And did I misinterpret it? Was that run by like a 12-year-old kid or something?
Yeah, I think that's the story.
Dude, that is cool, man. That kid is all right. If he's listening, somebody get the show to him. Dude, that's elite. I know it's kind of silly, and it's not a big, you know, in-depth hacking thing, but that's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty cool that you made your own whole website to it with, frankly, useful information. I thought it was funny. I looked at the sites and some of the pictures and stuff. I thought that was a very cool site, for especially for someone that age, and that's an up-and-coming hacker right there.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I think the rest of my week was spent searching for the Paris Hilton homemade porn video. How about you?
Yeah, I didn't find much. I heard a lot of people have it, but they've just got the there's like a 3-minute kind of preview deal.
Yeah, that's all I got too. That's all I found.
And I didn't even bother watching that because I knew it was going to be the preview.
Well, I don't know. I actually have some pretty good stuff on that little thing. But the thing is, it's like that. It's night vision goggles. It's like everything's green and black, you know?
Oh, it's just like you're watching Operation Desert Storm.
Exactly. It's pretty weird, but you can see. It's definitely her. There's no doubt about that.
Is there any nudity in the preview footage?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm not saying any bad words, but can we talk about... Oh, man, I'm not supposed to mention adult topics or he can't use it in the GSM. Oh, what am I going to do?
What?
Oh, man. See, one of the people in IRC, and forgive me if I forget, I think it might have been Cloak Dagger. Someone in IRC mentioned that they have a GSM treasure hunt game, which is kind of a cool idea. What they do is they bury, or they go out and bury like a time capsule or a hidden thing, and they post the coordinates, and other people will go out there with a GSM and try to find it. So it's this cool treasure hunt thing, and he was saying that he wanted to put episodes of Binary Revolution Radio. But they have a limit, they have a rule that they can't put, quote, adult material. So, us cursing all the time, I guess qualifies, or could qualify as that.
Well, did I ruin it with Circle Jerk a little earlier?
I don't know, I was worried about whether I was going to ruin it with the word penetration.
Penetration is a good word,
Zane. Well, the Paris Hilton video has penetrated the market. Can I word it that way? Can I get away with it like that?
Does it penetrate the market's mouth, or does it penetrate...
Oh, man, you're killing me. Oh, gosh. I'm crying, trying not to laugh.
Or does it penetrate...
There's a lot of oral discussion about it.
Okay, but no one's being anal about anything, are they?
I think they're only anal when the camera's not directly on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then it's time that they can, you know, try other things.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's definitely worth the download for 3 minutes. And when you watch that, you will want the full... I think the full one's supposed to be like 30 minutes. If I remember on the... I think on the smokinggun.com, I think I remember they said that it was 30 minutes or 34 minutes or something like that. The smokinggun.com, by the way, still in full effect.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, they come out with... Oh, they're the bomb. That's it.
They're like zero-day pop culture.
Yeah. They're so, you know, the other silly thing that they do that's still hilarious is they just post mug shots.
Yeah.
Dude, people have the most ugly, just weird mug shots sometimes. Dude, some of that stuff is, that's good photography.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those cops, they really know how to work an angle.
So does Paris Hilton. But besides the Paris Hilton video, what have you been working on this past... it's been a long time since you've been on here, and I know you talk about a lot of it on RFA, but you were saying you were doing some Perl stuff lately?
Yeah, I've been learning some Perl, really knuckling down and trying to get the thing learned, trying to get it hammered out.
So you're learning it, you don't really know it in depth, or...
No, I don't speak Perl yet.
Yeah, same with me. My Perl is limited to modifying stuff that already exists, you know?
Yeah.
Something I've been wanting to practice and learn a little bit more of myself. So, you want to talk about particulars, or is that too long a topic?
Yeah, it's too long a topic. We've been rolling for quite a while.
Yeah, you know what? We have been. Do we want to talk about our other project at all?
Let's pimp it just a little. Let's just Let's graze the surface just a little bit.
Let's see. Dude, we have so many projects, dude.
We have more projects than members.
Yeah, we really... And you know what? We might have to change that. We might have to do something about that. We have another project. Another DDP joint. I don't want to... We got to be careful. I don't want to give it away. First of all, the listeners don't know this, but you know my personal feeling on announcing projects. I don't like to announce them. I don't like to go talking about them until we're sure that we're going to go through with it.
Right.
Until it's something we know we can do. We can do pretty much anything technically that we want to put our minds to. We can do anything that it's whether or not we have the time to do it, and if we're actually going to follow through. Because let's face it, sometimes we're procrastinate as bad as anyone else.
Oh yeah.
As a matter of fact, worse than everyone else.
Yeah.
So. This one, I think, is almost definitely a go. I mean, this is a 99.9%. This is a go whenever we get around to recording. Oh, you know what? I guess that's the hint.
Yeah.
I guess that's a hint. This is going to be... I guess we can tell them that it's going to be another radio show.
Download only.
Right, yeah. We're not going to stream this one. We don't think. I don't know. Something may come of that.
Dude, I don't think anyone would take it.
Yeah, and the other thing is we're also... It's not going to be a regular weekly... This is going to be a when we come up with the material kind of deal, which is kind of like Hack TV. It's when we get enough material and gather together enough to put it out. It's going to be one of those things. We may do two or three a week if we're rolling.
Yeah.
We may do, you know, one every two or three months. Who knows? And this is a DDP project. However, I don't know. This is more of just a bland and stank thing.
Yeah, just kind of, doing what we do.
This will probably be something you download from our individual sites. Both of them, or do we want to make... I guess that doesn't matter. We'll worry about that later. But it's really not a technical, it's not a programming project. It's another radio show that hopefully people will like. I guess that's enough.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. So look for that hopefully within, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, if we can get together this weekend.
We should have done it tonight because we were rolling.
Yeah, if you would have kept going with that first take, we'd have had it.
Yeah, we had to stop take on the first episode, first time tonight. So, yeah, I think it's going to be coming very soon. Anyway, let's jump into, we just go on talking sometimes. There's just so much stuff to talk about. I've got quite a few news things. I'm going to just try to burn through them. Jeez, you know what? Actually, no. I'm gonna take my time, and whatever we don't cover, we'll bump because I want to talk about these things slowly and make sure we get some points across. I think that's more important. The first topic is something I said for a couple weeks now that I was gonna bring up on the show, and that is spam and how we still have a lot of spam and how spammers get around the rules and filters and stuff like that. I actually saw a quote, I wish I knew where I got this from, that said, spam is an adaptive virus. And I thought that was so, so true. All the filters that we have now, these Bayesian filters, they're good, but they're still not foolproof. There's still tons of spam that slips through. And I kind of have been doing a little bit of research and trying to figure out why and how and what can be done about it, if anything. And I just came up with some things. I don't know if some of you may have noticed, some of you may have not, but this is some of the things I found spammers using. And, you know, I got to give some credit. Some of the stuff is pretty inventive. They still are the scum of the earth, but at least they're... I got to say, some of the stuff is thinking like a hacker and thinking around. You got a filter in front of you, and you think of a way to get around it or through it or, you know... That's really the mind of a hacker. So I have to give some credit to the thinking around things, but the intent is much different. They're evil. We're not. So the first one, the one I see a lot of and most common, the filters pick up this sometimes, but if you use, like for example, if you send me an email at stankdog@hotmail.com, if you send an email from stankdog@AOL.com or stankdog at bliggityblogityblue.com. You just make up, when you forge the headers, you forge the from account. If it has the username of the person you're sending it to, usually the filters will not pick it up. Sometimes it will if it's a known, you know, it's part of a database or something like that, that's known spammers. But in general, it sees your name in there, and a lot of times that causes it to mistakenly think that maybe you sent it to yourself or you sent it from another account. It thinks it's being smart because it's customized to you. It has your name in it in the from field. Now, in the subject line or something like that, it's probably treated a little bit differently. But the fact that it's in the from field, it's able to slip through a lot. You see that one a lot too, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See, just any, and it's not always. Sometimes it's stankdog 6142. You know, it doesn't have to be just that. But if it has the word in it, I notice those get through a lot. The second one, and I can't help. I feel a little bit guilty almost, although I'm sure I'm not. But that they use elite speak in these things against us. They've turned it back against us, which kind of sucks. Sucks is okay, right? I can say sucks.
Oh, yeah. Sucks,
yeah.
Good.
Sucks is fine.
Good, healthy suck.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I guess I really... our audience knows elite speak. We don't have to explain what elite speak is to them, but by putting in, instead of Viagra, you put V1. A-G-R-A. Is that how you spell it? Or Miagra, the Mexican... is that my joke from before? The Miagra... the Hiagra, the Haitian Viagra?
Dude, you don't need that. You just knock over table lamp.
Oh, man. Man, come on, you let my secret out.
You scare the elephants.
Oh, man. Oh, where was I? So anyway, changing one letter causes the word filter. So most spam, when you get something with Viagra in the subject line, it's going to immediately flag that as high probability of being spam. Putting that number one in there throws that list off. Now, the way some of the filters are accounting for that is in their dictionary or in their list of trigger words, they're adding the elitized version of the word. Now, if you go back and you read my original article on elite speak, you'll realize that that didn't work back then. They used to try to filter people. That's how elite speak became about, was because people were getting around filters. You filter out one word, we modify it, we come back. You filter it out again, we modify it, we come back, and it's an adaptive language, just like spam is an adaptive virus. I think I used that line in my article, and I just now realized that that was the same, someone used it in this quote. It's not going to stop it unless you constantly update it, constantly add it, and frankly, it's going to keep morphing. So that's kind of a lost cause, but in the short run, that's getting through a lot of filters.
And you know, to parallel spamming with hacking, to take that step a little bit further, the same way about using, you know, leak speak to get rid of those Bayesian filters, it's also the same way as, like, Microsoft will allow backslashes in path instead of regular slashes for, like HTML requests, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like if snort, like if you try like a double decode attack, it will log, you know, ... a snort will come up and alert on that. But since Microsoft and their omnibenevolence decided to allow backslashes,
right,
for the same attack, ... your browser will execute it, you will complete the hack, and snort will not alert. So it's the same thing. I mean, you have to go in and tell snort to recognize ... in the same way that you have to tell it to recognize D414G, you know, the Haitian. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, and the other thing is, boy, we're getting pretty technical here. The other thing is, even with just those two things, that's not limited to that. Even if you stop that, you can go in and put the hex code for the front slash, or the hex code for the backslash, and,
yeah,
you know, it's going to interpret that to its proper ASCII character and do the same thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's numerous ways in, around, and through everything and anything, and, again, that's what we do. Another thing, let's see, I'm up to one, two, I'm up to number three here. The other thing is punctuation. V period, I period, A period. Putting a dot between every letter throws off the filter sometimes because, again, they don't see the word. Some of them, not all of them, just in some cases. I can tell you for sure Hotmail doesn't filter them out. You put in a dot between every letter of every word, and it will not see the word sometimes, and it will slip through. Same principle. Some of the filters have gotten smarter about that as well. So they look for the continuous string. And that brings me to my fourth one that I found, and I had to do some digging to find this one. See, I study my spam. When I get it, I want to see how they got it. I want to see how, you know, what they're doing and why it worked and how it worked. Frankly, you gotta say, I mean, and you learn a lot by doing it. You learn some of their tricks, and, you know, the more tricks you have in your tool belt. Anyway, this trick is, it's similar to the punctuation or things between the letters, but this one is on an HTML level. Almost all mail clients these days interpret HTML. You send and receive email in HTML format. Maybe not by default, but it doesn't really matter. It will view it in HTML just fine. Well, one of the coolest tricks is that they will use hidden HTML codes, like meta tags or something like that, or even just an unprintable character or something like that. And they will put in the V, and then they will just put in a tag in the HTML code that's not visible on the screen, and then they'll put the letter I, which is visible, and then another tag code, and then the letter A, or whatever, you know, whatever their word is, whether it's Viagra, whether it's teen, whatever, whether it's, you know, whatever that email spam happens to be, they put a meta tag or any kind of tag in between there that's not visible. So when you get the email, right there clearly you do see the word Viagra. And you think to yourself, how in the world did that one get through? Because the filters look for that word. How did they not see that? Very clearly it says, order Viagra, 100% legal, next day shipping, whatever, you know, whatever that stuff is. It's all right there, and you're thinking, there's no way that the filter doesn't pick that up, right? Wrong. If you look at the source code of this, some of those, you will see how they use those tags in between letters. And it's not just the email clients displaying HTML, it's the nature of HTML. You could bring that up on a web page and do the same thing. I could easily put a word in a web page, you go and look at it, and it's interpreted, and you just see a plain word there. But if you do a view source, you will see the hidden tags behind it that separate every letter of that word. So that, I thought, was one of the coolest, I hate to say, coolest things that I've seen done lately. That by putting that tag in there, majority of users don't even realize it. It's invisible to them. And you bypass the filter, which is their goal.
Hey, man, it is really, as bad as I hate to say it, it is the essence of hacking.
It really is. And whoever, I'm sure there are some of these people who are hackers or former hackers or have some relationships to hacking. Remember, not all hackers agree with the way we do and what we say on the show and what some of the people in the forums. There are hackers out there that are criminals. There are hackers that are spammers. There are hackers that are bad people. I like to think they're in the minority, but frankly, if it's a good trick, I'm not going to take anything away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they're still scum of the earth, but spammers, that is.
Yeah.
Even hacker spammers, because spammers overrides everything else. Whew, I wonder, let's see, what's worse, a spammer or a child pornographer? I think the spammers... No. Boy, that's close.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's make it easier. How about a spammer or a lawyer?
Oh, definitely spammer.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Because, you know, here's the thing. Because if you take that and if you transpose it, there is not one good spammer.
That's true. There are actually I have a lawyer and she's very good. So that's probably a very wise statement.
County and we call the EFF. They're gonna send the lawyer down. It's gonna be a good lawyer.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we support the EFF.
Yeah, we do.
We sent money.
Hey, we love the EFF.
Joking aside, the EFF is, dude, I don't know where we would be without them sometimes. Like one of the few bright spots of logic and good thinking people left in the world.
Heard that.
Mm. All right, anyway, let me jump to number 5 here. This is the last one I found. And if anybody has more, of course, you know how to get in contact with us. The intentional mixing up of letters. Now, this is a joke. Not a joke. This is a phenomenon or an interesting little trivia thing that someone mentioned in the forums one time, that you can mix up letters of a word, but you can still read it perfectly fine. As long as the first letter and the last letter are the same, and I think it was in the off-topic forums in the doghouse. If you want to go check that out, forums.benrev.com. You'll notice that, and it's kind of, you have to see it to believe it, because you don't really think it's possible, but you look at the words, and you can very clearly and read an entire sentence or paragraph, even though the letters are all jumbled up, as long as that first letter of the word and the last letter of the word are correct, and all the letters in between them are the valid letters, just out of order, your mind is actually smart enough for over the years of reading, you just glance at the letters and your mind sees the words. And spammers are doing that. They'll put the word Viagra, but they'll spell it out. V-G-A-I-R whatever, A. As long as it begins with a V and ends with an A, your mind will, even if you're not taking Viagra, you're not into Viagra, even though the show has suddenly turned into the Viagra show. Man, you know what? Did I just turn this into a big commercial for Viagra?
Yeah, well,
inadvertently?
Viagra sells itself, though.
Well, I guess that's true.
At the Haitian swap shop.
Exactly. Used. So, mixing up the words, you can still read it, so that's what a lot of spammers do. You'll see it in the subject line, mixed up words, and it gets through the filter. Again, not all of them. These are just some things that I have seen, so if anybody has any others, we'll give you contact information at the end of the show. You know, I got one. Let's end with another. This is a funny thing to me. We are running out of time, so let's end with this. Speaking of viruses, speaking of, you know, spam being an adaptive virus, viruses in general, I just saw this quote. Where did I get this from? I don't even know where I got this from, unfortunately. I got to start writing down my sources better. But this is a quote from John Thompson, who I didn't recognize, so I don't expect the listeners to. They might. He is the CEO of Symantec, or Symantec, or however you want to pronounce it, Symantec. Antivirus company, of course. This quote just... let me just read it. And his quote is, "It's clear that our consumer business benefited from the rash of blended threats."
Thanks, numbnut.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, way to point out the obvious there, Brainiac. Good job. Did you call Miss Cleo for a backup on that one, or what? what kind of help did you have? I mean, you do homework on that? That's the stupidest thing. I mean, I talked... I don't know what episode this was when I talked about blended threats. You know, about... As a matter of fact, it might have been the virus episode you and I did the first time.
Yeah.
Where we talked about blended threats and how all the different viruses were learning from each other, taking different parts and doing multiple things to deliver their payload and stuff.
Yeah.
So this guy's saying that, their consumer business benefited from those blended threats. Gee, isn't that pretty much what your consumer business is based on? Let's see, if there are more viruses, maybe your antivirus software is going to sell better. Good job. You know what? What other kind of gems of wisdom do you have for us, Buddha?
Yeah, you got the Dalai Lama over there telling you that, you know, snow chains sell a lot better in Alaska.
Yeah. We really need more people like that in the world. We really need intelligent. You know what? I know why. I can see why he is CEO of that company.
Because he has a master's in business.
Exactly. He's got a master's in business that his mommy and daddy bought for him.
No, I actually heard, I had to take a business class once.
Was it torture?
Yeah, and, you know, there was a phrase they used that sort of, that I think that it's really applicable to this man's situation.
And that is?
Supply and effing demand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thanks for enlightening us on the most simplistic business concept that anybody who's taken any classes in a college setting and the majority of high school students have learned. And even those who haven't have enough common sense to figure out on their own.
Yeah, it's not hard to put two and two together on that one.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it brought this to mind. I don't know if this is a stretch or if I'm going way off track here, but it reminds me of I think it was actually started as a joke. I don't know if it was a Chris Rock joke, but I've heard it in a lot since, where they say that they don't treat diseases. When they make drugs, they're not trying to cure anything. They're not trying to cure diseases. They're trying to find a way to let you live with the disease.
Yeah,
they want to cure the symptoms of the disease. They don't want to cure you. If they cure you, you're cured. You won't buy their drugs anymore. They don't make any more money. But if they can find a way to just get you through a few more years and make you buy more of their drugs, then they make more money. So there's no money in the cure. There's no money in curing these viruses. There's no money in fixing and preventing these viruses for Symantec. There's money in making you renew the engine every year and download debt files and stuff like that. That's where the money is. There's no cure. There's no money in creating a secure operating system.
Uh-oh.
You don't think Microsoft's going to create? No, because that's where all their third party. They would shut so many people out of business that it's. I mean, come on. I don't know. Am I reaching? Is that a conspiracy theory, or am I way off, or what's?
No, man. Pharmaceutical companies are still pissed off with all the money they lost with the polio vaccine.
Yeah, probably. But am I making a stretch to say that that's going on in with software? I mean, is that a reason to? I wouldn't say they won't make it a secure operating system, but is that a reason to? I mean, actually, we've said on, I think we've talked about it on the show before, and if not, I've heard that Microsoft is going to be including a virus scanner with Longhorn.
Well, they better let it check for all sorts of violations in Windows software.
Yeah, right? I have identified a virus on your computer called Windows XP.
Yeah, please remove immediately.
Press uninstall. Oh, all right. Well, you know what? I think that's a good ending point. What do you think?
Good show. It's a good ending.
Good show. Funny show, as always, with you.
Oh, thank you.
Always have a good time. I guess let's jump to shout-outs. I want to shout out to Rocket Deadhead, everyone at InterZone. I've been talking with him about some possible projects lately. Possible, the key word there, And so I'm going to give shout outs to them, Hacking Conference. You can go to, the site's all over, all over the forums, and we'll put it up in the show notes, but check out InterZone. And you want to shout out anybody in particular?
Just my brother, Duel.
Your brother?
Yeah.
Your brother of another color?
Yeah. He's my white brother.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, now you're a black man this week. Last week I was. Rack said I was last week.
I've got a little...
No, actually, I think Hack and Slash said I was. I think he interpreted it that way. And the email address, like I said earlier... Oh, you know what? I am. I'm going to get at least one email of somebody chastising me for mixing up Star Trek and Star Wars.
You know what?
Star Wars has Wookiees and Ewoks, right? And Star Trek has Borg and the onion-headed guys.
And the Vulcans.
And the Vulcans and the Ferengis.
Klingons.
That's the one with the big ears, right?
Yeah.
And the Klingons, yeah. And the Star Wars has those Sith. Is that what the Darth Maul guy was? A Sith? S-I-T-H?
Yeah.
And then they later went back in and added some editing CGI elephant creatures and...
Yeah. and Jabba was a hut, like Sully Struthers.
You know what? We'll end with that, and as a matter of fact, that's a good good segue to our closing music tonight. MC Frontalot with a track called Nerdcore Hip Hop. Very appropriately named.
Oh, yeah.
And that is it. Again, Bland, thank you for being on. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And we will see. I guess we won't see, but we will be back next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Wiggy, wiggy. Out.
Initiating startup sequence.
MC Frontalot could rock the turntable. I'm unable.
I thought I told you I'm working.
Nerdcore hip hop, other rappers running fear that I put them on the record where the friends could hear. They get sneered at, listed, not to be trusted. Seen hobnobbing with the front a lot busted.
That kid's a dork, he rhyme every day on the karaoke rapping. Yo, he ain't got anything to say, ain't got no record deal, never will. Such a spaz, better get his ass some kind of a sedative.
Pish posh, man, I come as whack as I like. Spits back on the mic, dispensing my disingenuous advice. Accuse famous rappers of biting my style. Get shot at, sit at home trying to simulate me a hi-hat.
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat
and hoping
that if he does it isn't weak, huh?
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat. Nerdcore, hip-hop, could reign supreme. We'll make a mention of my DJ CPU. Nerdcore hip hop is the style he used. Step to my, you better be prepared. He got
28 to 22 50 squared.
Just a little bitty bit more than the beat you thought. Front a lot, drop kicking rhythm in the double art. Sought skinny little beats, but return with the fat of the land.
Now I got a swollen hip hop gland.
I suffer hypochondria. I think my beats is sick. Don't trip. I'ma listen to the bootleg MP3. Post the front a lot demo on my FTP. Run away from the rappers who were just like me, cause they ain't appreciating who my DJ be.
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat
and hoping
that if he does it isn't weak. I'm
wishing
CPU could rock a beat
and hoping
nerdcore hip hop could reign supreme.